Please take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, the last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. Today's Sunday, July the 14th. And as I mentioned before we sang songs, I'm going to share this morning on emotions. And I realize emotions is a huge, broad topic. I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a psychologist. But we can see some things in God's Word about emotions. We all have emotions. I mean, it's how we're wired. It's not evil to have an emotion. God made us to have emotions. And emotions basically are a state of mind. Emotions are indicators of our thoughts. At times, we don't specifically note them. We might be very peaceful and we might not go, wow, I'm really peaceful. Other times we might say, wow, I'm kind of peaceful today. Other emotions are perhaps more prominent: worry, anxiety, stress, fear. But it's a result of our thoughts. You know, we may see something or hear something and we have an emotion. Sometimes that process is just super fast, very quick. But the emotion is an indicator of what's going on in our mind. And what's important is how we respond to those emotions. We can either react or respond. And before we look at Jesus Christ and how he handled emotions, in Luke 24, I think you're familiar with the two guys on the road to Emmaus who were pretty bummed out. They left Jerusalem. Let's go into verse 15. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So they didn't know this was Jesus walking with him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They were very sad. That's an emotion, being sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And you hast not known the things which are come to pass these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, we had hoped that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We were hoping he was the Messiah. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Remember earlier in this chapter, it says that when the women came and told him, their words seemed like idle words. Shush up, you ladies. 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. It's over with. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then Jesus Christ went from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Every verse concerning himself, shared the word with them. And in verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And then they headed back to Jerusalem. They had an emotion of being very sad, and they were reacting to that emotion rather than responding to that emotion in a godly way. You know, in Thessalonians, it says that regarding people who have fallen asleep, God doesn't want us to sorrow as others who have no hope. Yes, there's sorrow, but we sorrow not as others who have no hope. God's word addresses some emotions specifically, because reacting to some emotions is not very beneficial. You know, some of those are anger, fear, worry, anxiety, or stress. But instead of addressing every single emotion that we could possibly have, God focuses and addresses our thinking many places in God's word, because emotions are an indicator of our thoughts. So go to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at some of the emotions that Jesus Christ displayed. We know that Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, but he was also human, and he had emotions. And I think seeing some of the emotions that Jesus Christ in God's word, that what God's word shows us, we can gain great learning in how to handle our own emotions, because we all have them, don't we? He was human, we're human. But in Philippians it says, let this mind, this thinking be in you that was in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 12, familiar verse, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, or of the right way of believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy, how could he have joy while going through all that? Because he knew what he was accomplishing. One of the last things he said before he died was, it is finished. We did it. And then right after that, Father, into thy hands come in my spirit. And he died, laid down his life for us. His mindset was on what God wanted him to do and what he was accomplishing. He didn't just endure. You know how sometimes people say, just suck it up. Just endure. It says, for the joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured. In John, Gospel of John, chapter 12, we're going to look at some records in the Gospels. John chapter 12. Everybody there? John 12, verse 27. Jesus Christ said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. He said, my soul is troubled. That means disturbed, stirred up. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? What do we say when our soul is troubled? He didn't react. His soul was troubled. His response was, Father. He went to God in prayer. My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father. I need to pray. In the next chapter, John 13, verse 18. I speak, this is at the Last Supper, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled, or the scriptures being fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives not, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. It must have been hard knowing that one of your closest, not somebody that was part of the multitudes, not the disciples that followed closely, but one of the 12, one of you shall betray him, betray me. But he didn't react. He didn't get up and grab Judas by the throat and say, what the heck is wrong with you? How could you do this to me? He didn't react. He responded. Look at verse 22. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And I think you know the Eastern culture, the Oriental culture of giving someone the sop. It's someone you just dearly love, where you dip in and you just give it to them. Love you, Judas. Oh my goodness. That's how he handled that emotion. You don't need to go there, but in Mark 1, that's the record of the man with the withered hand where it says Jesus looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He didn't react in that situation. Rather, he responded by healing the man. Stretch forth your hand. In John 11, back up to John 11, we're going to read this record because it's just so full of emotion. And it really shows us how Jesus Christ handled emotions. And that's the way we're wired. We all have emotions. We all do. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. The word love here is the word phileo. It's not agape. Jesus was very close to Lazarus. He was a close friend. You know, that phileo love. He cared a lot for him. You know, in our lives, there are people we love, phileo, people we really care about. Sometimes we call them our close friends. And yes, God's word says we are to love, agape, one another. But some people we're close to. Close friends. Lazarus and Jesus were close, and it was not easy for him to hear that his close friend was very sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Did he just make that up? No, he always did the Father's will. He always spoke what the Father told him. That's the revelation that he got right then. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Why did he wait? Keep your finger here and look at John 8. I've been referencing it, but let's just read it. John 8, 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So back to John 11. That's why he waited. rather than reacting emotionally. Oh my gosh, my close friend Lazarus. Let's go. We need to leave now. Nope, he didn't do that. He responded by doing what God wanted him to do. And so he waited 2 days. I don't know why. Maybe there wasn't enough time to get there before Lazarus would die. I don't know. I know when he arrived, the record, we'll read it, tells us that Lazarus, when Jesus got there, he was already dead 4 days. So let's keep reading. We're in John 11 still. Verse 7, then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Because Lazarus and Martha and Mary live in Bethany, which is real close to Jerusalem. So he said, let's go. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? At that time, it was very dangerous for Jesus Christ to go into Judea, especially Jerusalem area. He could have had fear, anxiety, stress, worry. I mean, if somebody's trying to kill you, if there was an attempt made on your life in Tempe, you say, all right, let's go to Tempe. Maybe we don't want to be going there right now. He didn't have fear. Look at the next verse, verse 9. Jesus answered when they said, boy, we can't go there. Jesus answered, verse 9, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. He is talking about walking in the light of God's word, or God's revelation. And the next verse shows us he got more light, more revelation. Verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do good. I'm glad he's getting some rest. That's a good thing. Oh, they just didn't get it, did they? Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He died. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Notice he didn't say, I'm glad I didn't go right away. There's a difference between that and what he said. Verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Let's all go and die. Oh my goodness. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. It couldn't have been easy to hear that. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But again, he didn't let his emotions direct his life. Verse 22. She went, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, well, I know that he's going to rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You believe this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She's going to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, he has to deal with that statement. It couldn't have been easy. But he didn't react to his emotions. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This is not easy. He said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. He cried. He cried real tears because he was human. Oh my gosh, this was a lot to take in, wasn't it? He's standing at the tomb where his close friend has been dead for 4 days. And, you know, the two ladies, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. But he didn't allow his emotions to take over. He didn't go, you know what, this is too heavy. I got to go get quiet somewhere. Leave me alone for a while. Maybe sometimes we need to do that. But he was real good at handling his emotions. What a great example for us, huh? Where are we at? Verse 36. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Oh my gosh, look, he's crying. As he did, he wept. And some of them said, Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Shush up, people. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. I mean, he's been in there for 4 days. Who was it that said that? Martha? Yeah, isn't that Martha? Yeah, Martha said to him earlier, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you. Take away the stone. Oh, we can't do that. 40, Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with the napkin. Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. What a great record. And look at how Jesus Christ handled his emotions in a very difficult situation. Look at Matthew 26. See another heavy situation, more so than what we just read. Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 36. This is right after the Last Supper. 36. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the other two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I guess so. He knew what was coming. He knew what the scriptures foretold about what the Messiah would have to go through, plus the revelation that God gave him that it would be a crucifixion. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, when we're in an emotional situation, maybe something's heavy, we could certainly go to God and pray. God, help me with this. What's your will in this situation? He cometh to his disciples and found them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And we know what happened. Judas came up to him, gave him a sign that whoever he kissed. That must have been hard to take as well, right? He knew what he needed to face, and rather than let his emotions run his life, he prayed. It's a great key for us when we get into situations that are emotional. Pray. Go to God in prayer. And there are other places in the scriptures where you can see his emotions. But there's one more point that I want to share with you about his emotions. He always did the will of the Father. We know that, right? But he did that regardless of how he felt, what emotions were going on, or what the circumstances were. In Matthew 8, back up just a little bit in Matthew 8. So I want to make another point. Matthew 8, verse 16. So in verse 14, we know that he's there in Peter's house and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Verse 15 of Matthew 8, he touched her hand, the fever left her, she arose and administered unto them. Verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Everybody that came that had any kind of sickness, everybody got healed. Every single one of them. Cool, right? There's other places you can read where he healed everybody that was there. But the record in John 5, you don't need to go there. That's where a large group of sick people were at the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus only healed one man. Unlike this record, here in Matthew, in John 5 at the pool of Bethesda, there was only one who would believe to receive the healing. And I'm sure that Jesus Christ at the pool of Bethesda would have liked to heal all the people that were sick, because he did it on a number of occasions. Everybody got healed, but there just one. And he would have loved to heal everybody there at the pool of Bethesda, because Jesus Christ was a man with great compassion. You can read a number of verses that say that Jesus Christ had compassion for people. There's at least 8 times in the Gospels it talks about his compassion, his empathy, his care and concern for people. In Matthew 20, look at Matthew 20 for a second. Verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Here's the question. Were they healed because of Jesus' compassion? Look at Mark chapter 1, not too far away. Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Wow. Question. Was he healed because of Jesus Christ's great compassion? When Jesus Christ multiplied the loaves and fishes, back up to Matthew 15, says it again, he had compassion. Matthew 15 and verse 32. Matthew 15, 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitudes because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." We got to feed them. He had compassion. He was aware that they'd been there all that time. They're hungry. Because he had compassion, because he cared for people, because he had empathy for people, and that's a very good thing. Because there's some people that have no compassion. Oh, he's hurting? Well, tough for him. Too bad. Got my food. Jesus had great compassion, empathy, cared for people. But his level of compassion is not what brought about the miracles and the healings. It was the power of God that he operated, being obedient to the revelation he received from God. That's why he only healed the one guy at the pool of Bethesda. And that's important to remember, because sometimes, you know, people can say, you know, Jesus Christ had all that. If I just had more compassion, I could probably do more healing. If I loved bigger, if I was more committed. Yes, we ought to love people. Yes, we ought to have compassion. Of course we ought to be committed. But what does God want me to do? That's always the important thing. God, what do you want me to do? You know, there's some people who allow their compassion and other emotions to run their lives. Instead of asking God, "Father, is there something you would like me to do?" See, because we all have emotions, right? Maybe we have love for people. We have compassion. "Father, what is there something you want me to do about this?" We shouldn't allow our emotions to direct our lives. And again, emotions are an indication of what we're thinking. We all have them. That's how we're wired. But it's always our choice to either react or respond. The loss of a loved one brings grief and sorrow, right? We all know that. And God doesn't say, "Don't grieve, don't have any sorrow." What he does say is that we should sorrow not like others who have no hope. We have the great hope of Christ's return. And God's word says, comfort one another with these words, the words about the return of Jesus Christ. And that word comfort can be translated either comfort or encouragement. And we get great encouragement and comfort from God's word so that we're not overcome with grief and sorrow. So emotions are a part of being human. And it's a blessing, really, to read and see some examples of Jesus Christ and how he handled emotions, because he was human like we are. He had emotions like we have. And God's word says, let this mind, this thinking be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Before I pray, I thought about this morning when I was walking, so this is extra. Many times issues, policies, even laws are promoted and accepted because of the emotional appeal. And that's all through history, not just our current time. And you can certainly see it in our day and time as well. But if we had time, we would read chapter 4 of Nehemiah this morning. Take a little time to read that, because they were attempting to rebuild the wall and God's enemies were threatening them that they were going to get wiped out, that they should surrender. You don't build this wall, and trying to get them full of fear. And when you read the record, you know what they did? They prayed. And then they prayed, and Nehemiah said, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord your God. He'll take care of you. Don't react to what's going on, but respond. And they did by praying. When Moses stayed up in the mountain longer than they thought he should, some emotions got rolling. And I think you know what happened. It was emotions from words that people were speaking that drove them to make a golden calf and worship it and say, this is what took us out of the land of Egypt. Pretty squirrely. But that was all motivated and driven by emotions. Moses is gone. We don't know where he is. We're out here by ourselves. Aaron, build us a calf. Okay. How crazy that is. And then, I mean, there's lots of examples in the scriptures. And the one that's just so sad is when the people said, give us Barabbas. Release this murderer and crucify Jesus Christ. How did that happen? How did they get to such an emotional state that they were there in front of Pilate saying, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. One of the verses says, the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. It was with words. Got them all stirred up, their emotions stirred up. So we can either react to the emotions that we feel or respond. And we respond by what we know from God's word or from what God would reveal to us. Okay? All right. Father, thank you for your wonderful word and for the great example we have of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had emotions just like we do. And Father, what a great example to see how he responded by praying and by carrying out your word. Thank you, Father, for all that we have in the new birth, all the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have. And Father, how we can, with compassion, with love, bless others, love others, heal others, and most of all, speak your wonderful word. We pray for open doors to speak that word that brings deliverance to people. Thank you for the great privilege of sharing a little bit of your word this morning, and I ask you to bless all those that are here, those that are on the phone hookup, and those that may hear this later. Thank you, Father, for loving us, and we look forward to that day when you send Jesus Christ back, and it's in his name I pray. Amen.